Greetings and welcome. Appreciate having each of you here this morning for our Easter service 2019. Welcome you. Look forward to sharing the scripture together. We're thankful to have Brother Wayne Banwert with us again from our Champaign congregation. And look forward to this, I was going to say this afternoon, to have it to our second service to share with him as well. But I have a question for you this morning I'd like you to think about a little bit as we read the Easter story together. As you think back to Friday evening, Good Friday, as you think back to Palm Sunday, Easter is a time of victory. It's a victory over sin. It's a victory over death. And I just want you to think about what is the precise moment of that victory. So you think through the story. What is the precise moment when that victory occurs? And we'll revisit that a little bit. Let's begin this morning in Luke 24. Song leaders, I do not have a hymn chosen, and I apologize for being a little bit late this morning, so we'll sing after we finish reading here, and I'd leave it up to you to choose a hymn that would be appropriate. Let's begin in Luke 24 from the first verse. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, that him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's sing together.
Rise, the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sun.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank thee so very much for the hope that is an Easter morning. We thank thee for the love story that we began last week, have continued through the week, and culminates in reading the Easter story together on Easter morning. Knowing, Father, that we can call thee Father because of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Knowing the great act of love that Christ did perform there on the cross, dying in our place, dying a death that we deserved, because of our sin, dying a death that he did not deserve because of his perfection, and yet willingly taking upon himself the sin of the world that we might be reconciled to the Father. And as Brother Wayne shared on Friday evening, it's beyond our understanding, and yet we are so very thankful for it. We're thankful, Father, that thou dost desire a relationship with us. We're thankful, Father, that thou dost love us to the extent that thou didst die for us even before we loved thee. And it is in that spirit, Father, that we thank thee this morning. We pray, Father, that thou would grant us a spirit as in Christ. A spirit that looks at life from an eternal perspective. One that makes choices based on the will of the Father. And Father, we just are so very thankful for our families being with us this morning. And Father, we ask thy blessing upon our time together as we search thy word and as we meditate on thy truth, and just ask thy blessing upon our time, drawing us near to thee and opening our minds and our hearts to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have some housekeeping to get out of the way first, before we go any further. I need to apologize to my wife and my daughter, or else this morning won't go very well at all. So, let's just get that out of the way. I do apologize. Because today we're going to talk about surrender. And I want to ask you what you came up with when I asked you the question, what do you think is the moment of victory? Was it here in Luke 24? Was it when they came and they saw the empty tomb? Or did it happen on the cross on Friday night? And Jesus said, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I think any of those would be a good answer, but I'd like to take you back to Matthew 26 for a moment this morning. I'd like to take you into the Garden of Gethsemane in verse 39. It says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. I think there are many answers to the question that we posed at the beginning. This morning I want to focus on these verses as the answer to that question. Because I believe this is the moment of victory. This is where Jesus, fully human, fully in the flesh, this is where Jesus came to terms with the idea that he was going to suffer. He knew this, right? He knew it for a long time. And yet at this very moment, it became so poignant and so real that he's sweating blood. And he in the flesh says, I don't want to suffer this. I don't want to go through this. Father, is there any other way that this can take place? And yet as he prays this over and over, he realizes within himself that there is no other way, right? And he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It's that moment of surrender that makes everything else possible, right? The joy of this morning, the joy of this victory comes from the pain of that surrender. And I think sometimes when we think of victory, I think we have the wrong picture of what victory looks like. If we turn back to the chapter we read in Luke, It described the two men on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came among them, and Jesus in 17 says, why are you sad? What's the manner of these communications? And they said, are you a stranger here? Don't you know what's going on? About Jesus of Nazareth and how they've crucified him. And then in verse 21, look what they said. But we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They're disappointed, right? Because victory was so evident in Jesus, and now it's slipped out of their hands. At least in their minds, right? So what does victory look like to them? Victory to them is overthrowing this tyranny of the Roman government. It's restoring Israel's place, right? And now all that hope is gone. Let's look at Matthew 20, a few verses there. This goes back to a reference that Brother Ron made last week on Palm Sunday. This is in Matthew 20, 20 through 22. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't comprehend what victory is about, what victory looks like. Let's go a few more verses back to, this is still in Matthew, it's in verse 40 of chapter 27. This is toward the end. He's on the cross, but he hasn't died yet. And this is the trying to think who exactly it is, but it just says in verse 39, they that passed. Right? So there's people passing by the cross, witnessing this. It says they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads. Right? Wagging their heads. Such a shame, they're saying. Such a shame. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. It's the wrong picture of victory, isn't it? If you are the Son of God, then come down from there. save thyself, thinking that he has no power to do so. It's because they have the wrong picture of victory. They were looking at victory right there on the cross. He had the power to come down, right? But what was his response? If we go back to our Luke 24 chapter, same response he gave to the two that were walking there. Verse 25, he said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." In verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" They were staring at victory. The two walking on the road, they had victory walking beside them, but their eyes were not opened yet. All the disappointment, right? All that disappointment was soon to be swallowed up. But all because of a perspective that was misguided. And I think in our own hearts sometimes we have a misguided perspective of what victory looks like. And if you're here this morning and you haven't submitted to the will of the Father, if you have not given your heart to the Lord, and He's calling you to, today is the day. Today is the day to respond. Today is the day of victory. The victory that Jesus brought us began in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And if in your heart you can say, "Not my will, no longer my will, but the will of the Father, the will of God," and submit your heart to Christ, that is the beginning of victory. And today is another opportunity for that victory. Sometimes it doesn't feel like victory. But for those of us who have given our hearts to the Lord, those that have been baptized, it's not just a one-time event that, "Oh, we surrendered in the baptismal waters and now we're good." But it's a time where we need to surrender over and over again to the will of the Father. And victory begins at that moment. Because it's not until the moment of surrender when God can come into our hearts and God can direct us and God can make us. And it's not always something that looks like victory. If you look at Christ carrying His cross, if you look at Him staggering with a bleeding back, with blood running down His face, it doesn't look like victory. But we have to retrain our sights. We have to retrain our understanding of what victory looks like. Because that was the ultimate victory. The fulfillment of the prophets, the fulfillment of the law of Moses, the fulfillment of the Psalms. It was the fulfillment of all of that history, of all of that prophecy. And we see it very poignantly in the ripping of the veil in the temple. That's the victory, right? That our separation from God the Father vanished at that moment. Right? You could say that that was the moment of victory. To see that veil rip in two. And so having that opportunity, having that communion now with the Father, what does that victory look like in our lives and in our hearts? This is just a single verse I'm going to turn to. You can turn if you'd like, but probably don't need to. This is from John 12. And this refers back to a point that Brother Wayne made on Good Friday evening in his Good Friday service. As he was speaking about the bread that we were about to take part in the communion service. And I did the same thing, Brother Wayne, that you just did. I looked at the wrong chapter. Had a little bit of a panic. John 12, 24 and 25. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Right. It's exactly what Christ was prepared to do. Right. To subject his own will to the will of the Father, to die literally for us, to bring forth the fruit of salvation to each of us. Now, none of us is going to die and bring salvation. We don't have that power. We're not worthy to be that sacrifice. And yet, right, we are called to be a sacrifice. Romans 12 tells us, right, to become a living sacrifice. A sacrifice to the purposes of God. Submitting our will to His will. Dying to self, right, emptying ourselves of self that we can be filled with His Spirit. But we can't fill ourselves up. We can only be filled by Him after we've emptied ourselves. And so as much of ourselves as we keep within ourselves, that's how much we're limiting the work of God in our hearts and in our lives. And we have the perfect example of Christ who emptied Himself completely. He had so many opportunities, right? To claim His deity. Even directly after His baptism, right? Satan takes Him out and tempts Him. Tempts Him to claim His deity. And Christ refuses. Why would He refuse to claim His deity? That's who He is. And that's the same answer. Because that's who He was. He was God come to save us. And He became our redemption. He was perfect. He didn't need anything else. He was perfect. And yet to become what the Father had sent Him to be, He still had to subject Himself to a death on the cross. And so I would ask us to consider, what is it that we're still lacking? What is it that's keeping us from becoming what God has designed us to be? Christ denied Himself to become something that only the Father could give. What is it that the Father wants to give us? What is it that the Father wants us to become that we are denying ourselves because we're not emptying ourselves and submitting ourselves to Him? Is there somewhere He wants us to go and we're saying, Father, anywhere, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, just not there? There's something that He wants us to do and we're saying, we'll do anything, but just not that. Is there someone He's asking us to love? We'll say, we'll love anybody, but just not them. You have to answer that. I have to answer that in our own hearts and our own minds. But let's be honest about it and let's be real about it. Because God desires us to be fruitful. And as it says here in John 12, the way to be fruitful is to die, right? So if we don't die, if we preserve what we have, then that's all we'll have. But if we can die to ourselves, we have access to the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. That same quickening Spirit giving us life to His purposes and His plans. It says, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Doesn't mean that we have to despise our life. It means that we don't hold on to it as the ultimate end, right? We are journeying through this life. This isn't where we belong. Right? We hear it often, the term pilgrim, but we're pilgrims. We're passing through. This isn't home. This isn't the end. And sometimes we treat it like it is. Sometimes we set up camp like this is home. And it's not. The Israelites were ready to pack up and move, depending on whether that cloud or that pillar of fire moved before them, right? Until they got to the promised land, they were nomads. And they had to be ready to pick up and go. They didn't set down roots. And we're the same. We're not going to be home until we get to the promised land. We're not going to be home until we're in heaven, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Father. And so let's not set roots here like this is home. And let's hold our blessings with an open hand. Christ wants us to serve in the same sense that He does. Brother Ron shared another verse from Mark 10. Is a beautiful verse, I think. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. He was talking to His disciples and He was training them. He's training them for what He wanted them to be. He wanted them to be servants, right? That's why he as a model, He went and He washed their feet. Showing them, He's saying, I'm the master. You call me master, and rightly so, I am. But yet, I wash your feet because that's what I want you to remember. That's what I want you to learn. I want you to be servants. That the gospel would be extended to those that have not heard and that have not believed. Paul describes it this way in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And he says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Just want to close with a few verses from Romans 6. I was planning to spend a little bit more time here than we have, but I'm just going to read from 3 through 14, just in the context, and read this in the context that we've been talking about, right? The context of what victory looks like. So what does victory look like in Romans 6? Thinking of surrender. Thinking of emptying of self and allowing the Spirit free access and full access to our hearts. Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, submit yourselves, surrender yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace." Do you want victory in your life? We all do. What does victory look like? It doesn't look like what the world says it looks like. The world was disappointed in the work of Christ, and they may be disappointed in us if we surrender. But Christ will never be disappointed in our surrender, because it's the beginning of our hope in Him. So may God add His blessing to the Word this morning.
Very good thoughts to think on this Easter morning, beautiful morning, the morning of victory for Jesus Christ, who suffered and died that we could live. I really appreciated the emphasis it takes on surrendering all to Jesus. I surrender, we sing. Do we really do that? Is that the time that we attain victory? I really appreciated again the reminder of the two that were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus was right there. He was with them and they couldn't see him. They didn't understand him, and he opened their eyes. And when he opens our eyes, that's when we can surrender all. That's when we can surrender to Jesus. Is it the path of roses? No. Not always. There will be temptations. There will be trials. There will be struggles along the way. There'll be things we don't understand. But the thing we hold is the promise of heaven, and that's the victory. May we never lose that promise. May we never give up the fight. May we not ask always, God, why is this in my life? But rather, I see it's in my life, Lord, how can I help? I'm a pilgrim, I'm passing through, I'm waiting till I can go home like Jesus did on Easter morning. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to look forward to. And yes, may God bless His Word. May we understand it. May we be willing servants of His. And we'll close with a hymn. Did we sing the Easter hymn? I got here a little bit late. Morgan, do you know? 89 let's sing that one just because it's Easter. I want to just say, while you're turning there, I want to say one other thought I had about victory. And this song just ran through my mind. I want to sing the Easter song because it's Easter. But we sing a song that speaks of victory, and it says, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, that's how we're able to surrender all. That's how we're able to have peace of heart and a promise for heaven that we know is true. Let's sing the Easter hymn together, 89 in the Hymns of Zion.
Brother Roger Levy, would you have the prayer with us? We have the food laid out, so pray for the morning and for the food. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be here this morning hour and to be with those of like mind and faith and to be with old friends and to come here again to Indianapolis. Truly, it is a blessing that we could be here and to hear the true word spoken. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for the words we have heard this morning hour. We have heard much about surrendering, dear Lord, and we pray even as Christ did die and He shed His blood and for our sins, dear Lord, we pray that those who haven't may surrender their lives unto Thee. And even for those that have surrendered, dear Lord, we pray that we could always stay true to Thee and always do Thy will. We know that we are weak and needy, and many times we do come short, and we pray, dear Lord, that we could always try to live truly for Thee and do Thy will. We thank Thee also for our country. We thank Thee for the freedoms that we have, that we can freely worship Thee. We do not know what the future may hold. We see much turmoil even in our country, even in the world, dear Lord, and we pray, dear Lord, that we could always still have the freedoms that we have, especially to worship Thee. For truly, that's the most important thing, dear Lord, that we all strive that we could someday go to heaven and be with Thee. And we pray, dear Lord, that we may always stay true to the end. And also this morning hour, we want to thank Thee for the food that we have provided, dear Lord. We could even be together in this Easter day and could eat with one another also. We know that we need our physical nourishment, even as we have received the spiritual nourishment in this morning hour, and we thank Thee for that. So again, we pray that Thou be with us even for the remainder of this day. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen.